Rachel, it's a delight to be here. How long should this presentation be?
45 minutes.
Thank you so much, Rebbetzin and Rachel, for your very kind words. Sima, thank you for opening up your home. You and your husband should have lighthearted nachas from each other and your children, and the home should always be full of simcha shel Torah. Thank you. This is a very auspicious moment in time for women to get together. The last few years, it occurred to me the following rather simple thought. When Hashem came to bring the Torah down to the human circle the first time, Hashem said to Moshe, I don't have a board here, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
there's one here, but
Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kotomar lebeit Yaakov v'taged lipnei Yisrael. Speak to Beit Yaakov first. Rashi says, as we know famously, Beit Yaakov are the women. Meaning, the first time that Hashem communicated with man, Hashem spoke to Adam, and hauntingly, Chava undid the will of Hashem. Now that Hashem was starting a new world order, namely the world of Torah, Hashem said, if I want Torah to take root in the human circle, then women have to accept it first. So before we review why did Hashem give us the Torah first? Something that stirs me is the following. Kotomar lebeit Yaakov. Can anybody tell me what the word bayit means other than home? The word bayit means inside. Like Hashem said to Moshe, tell Bezalel, the master craftsman, to pave the aron, the ark, with gold, mi bayit umichutz, from inside out. The word bayit means inside. We are the inside. We are the pnimiyut. I have he's my second cousin. There's an older man by the name of Shuki Freiman in Israel. He's one of the foremost Judaica artists in the world. He does, have you seen his pieces or his art? I met him recently, and his art, his Judaica, is very majestic. So he showed us a portfolio, and there was a dazzling becher, fit for Moshiach. It was gorgeous, it was inlaid, it was huge. But what holds the wine? It's obviously the inside. We are the core, we are the inside, we are the pulse. And that's why Hashem gave us the Torah first. So the Medrash Rabbah gives two specific reasons why we accepted. So ask the women, see if they accept it. The Medrash Rabbah says, Shehen zrizot lemitzvot. Women have a natural zealousness, alacrity, zrizut, agileness, swiftness to do mitzvot. That's an incredible thing. Chazal, our sages, who were the greatest psychiatrists of the soul and understood the human psyche, they're telling us that intrinsic to femininity, to Jewish femininity, is that we have a heightened zealousness to do mitzvot before the exile, the galut, tampered with us. Right? The healthy, wholesome woman before we were taken apart by, and that's really part of the topic of our evening, right? Nisyonot, life's trials and tribulations. We, more so than a man, have a heightened excitement to do mitzvot. That's one reason that we receive the Torah first. The other reason that the Medrash Rabbah brings is Da'ato shel Adam kova etzel ishto. A man's mindset is profoundly affected by what his wife wants. So, if we want Torah and we are the navigators of our ships, before Torah could take root in the human circle, Hashem had to see, Moshe had to ascertain, will we women accept it? And so we're just reviewing these vital perspectives of how does the Torah view us. One of the most important words in our vocabulary as Jews is, right, emunah. Faith, emunah. Bach Havakuk ve'emidan alachat. The prophet Habakkuk said, if you want me to tell you what is the pivotal core that the all 613 mitzvot revolve around, to condense it on one pillar, it's emunah, faith, trust, reliance. So the Maharal Miprag, Rosh Hashiva actually, many years ago, was gifted with a trip to Prague where he met his Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zchutoy Yegen Aleinu. And they spent 48 hours learning in the Beit Midrash of the Maharal Miprag and davened at his grave. The Maharal tells us that the word emunah is a feminine gender, like any other Hebrew noun that ends with a kamatzeh, yalda, isha, buba. The word emunah is a feminine gender because Jewish history has proven that in times of darkness, uncertainty, our emunah, our capacity to trust, to rely, to believe, has proven to be more steady than that of a man. In Mitzrayim, it was dark. Amram, father of Moshe Rabbeinu, right, Aaron and Miriam, divorced his wife, and everyone followed suit and said, "We're not going to bring children for Paro to bathe in their blood, La Aleinu." And led by Miriam, our emunah was able to pierce the darkness of the moment, and we continued Am Yisrael. I don't know if you ever heard of Rabbi Israel Tauber, Zichrono Levracha. I have been teaching in his organization for well over 30 years. An amazingly inspired person who strengthened the core of our world and did Kiruv worldwide. He would make Shabbatonim for secular Israelis that by no fault of their own ended up in Thailand. I heard him say more than once that his mother brought children into the world in the ghetto. And people said to her, "Are you stark raving mad? You're bringing children into the world in the ghetto?" And she said, "I'm going to do what Hashem wants me to do, and the rest is in His hands," and every single one of them survived. So the Maharal says that, yes, the two earth-shattering failures in the history of Am Yisrael, the sin of the golden calf, right? We women did not participate. And the sin of the spies, the Meraglim, not one woman accepted slander about Eretz Yisrael. We also didn't know where Moshe Rabbeinu was. We didn't calculate. We said, absolutely not. We are not participating in Chet Egel. And when the collective voice of the men, right, every time that there was difficulty in the desert, when the collective voice of the men said, "Nisna Rosh v'nashuva Mitzrayma," let's go back to Egypt, it wasn't exactly a 10-star hotel, the collective voice of the women, as personified by the five daughters of Tzlofchad, said, "Tana lanu achuza," we crave to go into Eretz Yisrael. I once read that secular sociologists did a study. Which strata of the population rebuilt their lives most successfully after the Holocaust? Totally secular researchers. And their research came up with that the strata of the population that rebuilt their lives most successfully were the Torah observant women. I love survivors. Hashem should protect them. I've had the great privilege and zchut to speak to survivors. Our youngest daughter, her husband's grandmother, Zichrona Livracha, was just Nifter at, she just died at about 94, 95 years old. Babi Lowy, who I would visit when I taught in Borough Park, I have the privilege of teaching a very vast spectrum of women, from the unaffiliated to Hasidic women in Borough Park to women in the five towns, and it's very thrilling. Since age 17, I can never thank Hashem enough to share that which inspires me with women in many different places. Babi Lowy was in six different concentration camps. At 16, her father had a prosperous business, and when he felt the Germans coming, he liquidated his, I don't know what kind of business, and bought a few diamonds and gave it to his each child a diamond. I don't know how many there were, knowing that it might save their lives. Babi Lowy, at 16, in the first concentration camp, she told me this. She kept it in her mouth until the second concentration camp. It was sewn, only her best friend knew about it. Her sister and her friend, two sisters, survived. Sewed it into whatever the nightgown was. And that's how they restarted their lives after the Holocaust. I can't even describe to you the deep, stubborn emunah and spirit that emanated from her. She was an artist. Every time a grandchild got married, she painted a picture. She lived, and I'm sure you might have such images of older women, she lived talking to Hashem throughout the day. You could see that he was by her side, and she had a total intimate dialogue with him. I'm very, very moved by such women, such people. As we get towards the heart of our shir, I wanted to share with you a few thoughts from the Sifsei Chaim, Reb Chaim Friedlander, who was a Talmud of Rav Dessler, about the concept of nisayon, life's trials, struggles, tribulations. And he essentially says, as you all know, first of all, each life test, trial, tribulation is custom carved for each one of us. Hashem knows at any given point what we've been through. He knows what our capacity is. I have a very poignant memory, and I speak from this is a topic close to my heart because I speak from the trenches of more than one life test, maybe the most acute one being the loss of our precious daughter Ruchama alayhi shalom almost 15 years ago. We were entrusted with a singularly beautiful inside-out child, very, very brilliant. Do you know anybody that ever got A+ in organic chemistry? But her heart was even more profound than her formidable brain. She was extremely, extremely kind and compassionate. She wanted to be a doctor and help children. She was sick for 8 years in a way that was beyond the capacity of Western medicine to help her. And they were very tumultuous years where she badlu lechaim tovim va'okim. After her p'tira, we were left with a nest of adolescent girls in trauma. Adolescence is hard enough, right? Trauma and adolescence. If not for the constant every day a new nurturing of my emunah through learning Torah, tefillah, deepening my connection to prayer, connecting and looking up to women that were also beyond me or together nurturing their emunah, I could not have possibly survived. Right before she was suddenly nifter, I had another daughter, Shetibadel Lechaim Tovim, had to do a report about the Akedah. The Akedah, which literally means the binding of Yitzchak, the 10th and obviously most acute test in the life of Avraham Avinu. The Maharal says the number 10 is the first complete number, unit, implies, bespeaks, that Avraham Avinu in his 10 trials was tested in every aspect of his existence. So I remember sitting in the kitchen with maybe a 6th or 7th grader and looking inside at the Medrash Rabbah that described that in olden days they used to keep water in big pottery, big cisterns, like big ceramic pottery jugs. And you would go to the potterer to buy a jug, and he would say, "Look, I want to show you. This one is really durable." He would take the jug and throw it on the floor and demonstrate that it wouldn't break. It wouldn't crack. The Medrash says he's not going to demonstrate with one that he knows has the potential to crack. And then the Medrash brings another mashal of somebody that's threshing stalks of linen or wheat, also not going to demonstrate with those that are just going to come apart. And so every nisayon is to take our inner potential and somehow actualize it. It's not enough for it to be in the realm of thought. It's not enough to have a good heart. Hashem wants us to concretize it and to actualize it. And I'd like to just share with you a few thoughts of how do we navigate when we're in it. We say every morning, "V'al tivienu lo lidei nisayon." Please, don't test us. We don't ask for it. We don't ask for it. We don't have confidence that we're going to. But once we're in it, it would be, besides the angst and the pain, may we not be tested, it would be such a waste if it didn't bring out our latent potential, which is what it is about. The Meir of Davening, there is a phrase, "Bishachveinu ubekubeinu nasiach bechukecha." When we lay down and when we get up, we will speak words of Torah. Rav Dessler says, "Bishachveinu," when we lay down, "ubekubeinu," and when we get up, is a metaphor for times of down and times of up. In another sefer, it's described as Yimei Ahava, days of love, where our connection to Hashem is clear and flowing, and Yimei Sinah, days that we feel, the word Sinah translates as hatred, but we feel really distanced. In the woof and warp of the way we are wired, the Chazon Ish Zatzal said in Yiddish, for anyone that speaks Yiddish, I'll translate. A person is a creature. Intrinsic to our humanness is that we're up, down. Nobody could sustain, like only few and great lofty tzaddikim, could sustain an even keel of total clarity all the time. No doubt, no weakness. For all of us in this room, it's b'shachveinu uvekumenu. Times when we're really down and feel detached and lack of clarity, and times when we feel clear. So, the advice that Rav Friedlander is telling us as to how to endure and how to live through life's trials and tribulations is to strengthen ourself and our connection and our learning and our tefillah when we are in Yemei Ahava, when we're up. To really, really be loyal to ourselves. He says something very interesting. He says it's not enough just to be a ne'eman, a loyal person to your friend, namely to keep your word if you say you're going to do something. He says you have to be loyal and reliable to yourself. For example, okay, if you say that no matter what, you are going to aim to say at least Birkot HaShachar, the morning brachas, Shema and Shemar Esrei, whatever it is for you before you leave the house, to try to be loyal to yourself and to really do it consistently. To strengthen ourselves maximum at a time that we're clear-headed, to really fuel ourselves and access all the inspiration that we could, so that when we plunge, we have at least fuel to try to sustain us. He says in days of down, of lack of clarity, to try to hold on to as much as we could of the fuel that we have accrued when we have days that are low. And he describes very poignantly, perhaps you've learned the Akedah. I can't even see my clock. What time is it, Rachel?
3 o'clock here. I think it's
4:00. Oh, okay. That's good.
It's about 5 minutes past.
Okay, and when did you start? I don't want it to turn into a lullaby.
Started about 8:40.
You started when?
About 8:40.
Okay. So we know, right, that Hashem never intended that Avraham Avinu should slaughter Yitzchak. The word Akedah means to bind. Many years ago, I think it was around when Ruchama alayhi shalom became ill, I started to try to say the Akedah every day, because after learning it somewhat in depth, I realized that the word Akedah means to bind, and if I said it every day, it would help me to bind my intellect, or in other words, to subordinate my intellect right away in the morning and say, Hashem, I don't understand. I'm going to do what I can do and what I have to do, but I don't understand your master plan. And that's what Avraham Avinu did. His whole life, he's screaming against human sacrifice that was so prevalent in the Canaanite idol worship society of that time. He was screaming against it. And then Hashem says, Kachna et bincha et yitchitcha asher hafta, take your only son. Wait, but you just promised me, beYitzchak yikare lecha zera. You just promised me that Yitzchak will turn into a nation and the fate of the whole world spins around the Am Yisrael, and now you're telling me to take him and destroy that whole future? It was dearer to him, the Sfat Emes commentary says, to do the will of Hashem than to have a future. So learning the Akedah and saying the Akedah is helpful to me. But the point I want to isolate is the following. It was such a titanic, unimaginable subordination of the intellect. I don't understand. How could this be? But you are telling me to do it, Hashem, and I am loyal to you, right? That at that last second that he's about to take the ma'achelet. Why is the knife called ma'achelet? From the word to eat, Rashi says. Because we're still eating the reward. We're still reaping the reward of what Avraham Avinu did. And he's about to take it, right? And Hashem says, "Al tishlach yadcha al hanal. Don't send your hand forth. Va'al ta'as lo me'umad. Don't do anything." Why the redundancy? Because Avraham said, "Could I just make a little nick so that I could prove to you that I'm ready to do it?" Meaning, I want to show you that I'm prepared to actualize it. It's not only in my head that I'm prepared to do it. Hashem said, no. I never wanted this in the first place. I was just testing you to see how loyal are you to me? How deeply are you prepared to subordinate your intellect? Now, what's very fascinating is that Chazal say, Afaro shel Yitzchak savur tachat kiseh hakavod, the ashes of Yitzchak are perpetually before Hashem. But a ram was brought in his place. He was never sacrificed. What does that mean? Inside his head, inside his mind, he was so prepared to do it that that's all Hashem wanted. That it was as if it was actualized in reality. And that's always before Hashem. And we're always saying, "Please, Hashem." I love the tefillah that follows it. Just like Avraham held back his fatherly mercy and was prepared to do your will, Hashem, could you please be compassionate and transcend whatever is coming to us and just show us compassion because of that? But after the tenth trial, Avraham begged, "Don't test me anymore." He said, "Don't test me anymore. And let what I did, I paid my dues. Don't test Yitzhak. Don't test him anymore. Don't test him anymore either." Meaning the following. We can only say, "Hashem, we want to do your will." And that's all that's asked of us. We cannot control outside factors. You know, Chazal say, Chishav adam lasot mitzvah ve'ne'enas. If you wake up one day and say, "Today I'm going to feed people in a nursing home." I grew up in Far Rockaway from age 12. My father's itself began our yeshiva, Shar Yashuv, when I was 12. It was full of nursing homes. In those days it was before home care. And I would visit Jewish women in the nursing home, and feed them whatever, till I had 3 children. But if I woke up one day and said, "Today I'm going to do that," and suddenly there's a huge snowstorm, right? It's taken out of your control. Many things that we want to actualize and do are taken out of our control. I know women who are so spiritually progressive. They would like to take steps in terms of Shmirat Mitzvot. They would like to make their home stronger. They'd like to put their children in stronger institutions. They'd like to take baby steps They cannot because their men are not yet studying on the same level or as spiritually progressive. But in the world of thought, Hashem sees what they want so totally. Ma'aleh alav ha-katuf ki'ilu asa'ah. If you want to do a mitzvah and do a baby step spiritually and it's taken out of your control, Hashem, who sees into our hearts, counts it as if we have done it. We can only have ardent spiritual cravings and then daven that Hashem should help us actualize it. But the actualization is in His hands. So on this note, I want to share with you one of the thoughts that holds me most deeply on a daily basis. In the Torah, in different places, there's an expression for the word daily, and it's yom yom, every day. And there is a dash between the two words, yom yom. In English, it would translate as daily. For example, when it says that the wife of Potiphar, she tried to seduce, to inveigle Yosef daily, the expression there is yom yom. In fact, our sages tell us that she changed her clothes on the hour, Could you imagine what that energy that took? Resources, energy, meaning his nisayon, his trial, differed on the hour because she manifested herself differently. In Tehillim, there's a pasuk, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, I thank Hashem daily. So how do we put this together, these two ideas? Every day is a new battlefield until Mashiach comes. Every day, may it be just tiny trials and tribulations, like getting out of bed and starting the day, rather than more difficult nisyonot, trials that are swirling all around us. It's a glorious moment in time in that we can really learn as much Torah and Torah as accessible, and there's so much darkness. It's a dark moment in time. There are so many unexplicable trials and tribulations and nisyonot. I won't regale you with the nisyonot in our neighborhood or in the New York area. I called a dear friend, a Rebbetzin, a Hasidic Rebbetzin in Jerusalem, because I realized that one of the five casualties of the missiles, one of the young men in Ashdod was I read about it, we get the Hebrew newspaper, one of the religious Hebrew newspapers, the Hebrew Hamadiya, and we put together that the 21-year-old young Gera Chassid father who was anticipating, whose wife is due with her second child, the siren went off in Ashdod, that a missile was coming. He ran into a building. He was on his way home from his Hasidic Beit Midrash, very inspired, princely midot attributes. He ran into a building, and he ran into the inner part of the hallway for shelter. And then a family, a father and mother and children, came into the building. So he instinctively, naturally gave them the spot that he was. It was more inside. And he went towards the front. And the Iron Dome, I didn't realize quite how it works, smashes the missile. Three shards, there were people all around him, there were people outside of the building. Three shards went into his heart and he died. And this is a great nephew of my friend, meaning it's her brother's grandson, was her brother's grandson. But her brother lost two sons. This is now a grandson. One son drowned at 17, and trying to save, he saved one friend. It sounds like it was quicksand, and he was very tall. He was trying to save a second friend. She said it wasn't water. She thinks it was quicksand, and he drowned. And the other was a young father, just newly father. He was on the back of the bus when there was a terrorist attack. So the father lost two sons, and now the grandson. It's so huge, you can't wrap your head around it. And the emunah with which the parents and grandparents speak. My friend was never privileged to have biological children, to have one adopted son. And her angst is so deep. So if the nisayon, if every day, and we say, please don't test us, but every day until Mashiach comes, we do have small and sometimes larger trials and tribulations. Well, how do we strengthen ourselves? The only recipe that I know, and I give out my recipes and I don't leave out ingredients. Is it true that people, that women leave out ingredients? I can't believe they would be so mean as to do that. I have to ask the Shashiva. I think the Gemara speaks about the family of Kohanim that made the Lechem Mapanim, and one family is criticized because they didn't give out their recipe. I should have brought you, I brought my hostess, what is her name?
Cheryl Epstein,
a crown challah that I designed. I really should have brought it. I had something else that I'll show you on Shabbos in Etz Hashem. A few years ago, I, before Shavuos, surprised the Rosh Hashiva with a Keter Torah, a crown challah. It's really beautiful, and I brought two to the table, and his students, the Bahrain, really went wild because he said, one is for the oral Torah, one is for the written Torah. One is for Nasa, one is for Nishma. So every Shabbos, I make two huge crown challah and one regular. I just make three challah from over 5 pounds of flour. So you could imagine, they're very majestic. And it's my not-so-secret hobby, baking challah. Sometimes I make, quite often, over 10 pounds on the Erev Shabbos because I like to give it away. I can't comfort the young mother who's battling cancer. I can't give her what she needs, but the challah does pick up her spirits and the family. And we cannot, I think about this cyclically, I can't give you what you lack and you can't give me what I lack. But at this moment in the Golos, we could strengthen ourselves and strengthen each other and navigate together. And so every morning before the Shema, we say the following words. HaMechadesh b'tuvo b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh bereshis. Every day, in his goodness, constantly, Hashem renews everything that he created in bereshis. Or loosely translated, he renews the whole of creation, the mountain and the beautiful trees, and are not here because they were here yesterday. He renews them and renews us every day. I want to ask you something. I said yesterday, Shelo asani goy, shelo asani aved. Thank you, Hashem, you have not made me one of just any one of the nations, other nations, other 70 people. Thank you, Hashem, you have not made me a servant. Why did I say it again today? Did something change in the last 24 hours? Did I become a servant or a Gentile? Why do we have to say it every day? Because every day is an entirely new existence. And we celebrate our status, and yes, our status as women, every day. But Anshei Knesset HaGdola, who chiseled out the words of the tefillah, they added a word, tamid. They could have just said, HaMechadesh b'tuvo ma'aseh bereshis. In his goodness, he renews all of creation every day. You know what tamid means? Tamid means every minute. Picture, this is the Torah of the Rosh Hashiva's Rebbe, Moshe Shapiro Zatzal, who was one of the greater men of the generation, and we were very close to him. This is how he explained it. Picture a candle. A child that looks at the flame thinks that it's the same flame all the time. But as adults, we know that the intrinsic nature of fire is that it consumes itself. So every single second, it's a new flame. That's the reality. It's a new energy. It's a new flame. Every single moment, I'm not moving now because I moved before. He vivifies us. Every moment, we're given new existence, new life every day. And every moment, you know that on days that I get myself out of bed like that, I say to myself like this, you're scared to greet the day? You don't know what the day will bring, or you do, and it's scary, right? Right? Tehillah, this is a new day. It was never here since Hashem created the world. It's not fair if he's going to leave me with the same tools yesterday for the battlefield called today, and he doesn't play with us. He is fair. Every day he gives us new physical, emotional, ruhani, spiritual tools for the battlefield called today. And that's how we have to greet the day. That we get custom carved tools every single day. And that's when I'm able to access that, then we could live with hitchatshut, renewal. I need to share with you something that has been very, very life-altering for me. When I was a young mother many, many years ago in the Catskills, the yeshiva owned a bungalow colony, and when my children were young, they would ask me if when Mashiach comes, it will be like the yeshiva bungalow colony. bucolic, and a woodsy base medrash, and little, you know, a lot of unity. And there was a terrible tragedy. How big is the Catskills? A stone throw away, an older couple, survivors, Hasidic couple, were murdered in their bungalow. No one ever figured out why or how. This has to be a good maybe 35 years ago. I was beside myself. I was so heartbroken. They lived through everything, and to happen this way. My bungalow was also near the woods. There was a path leading from the woods to my bungalow. Rosh Hashiva was very young, and he would be in that woodsy base medrash till easily 3 o'clock in the morning. I think I was heartbroken and afraid. I called up my father, Zitzel, and I said, "Abba, I'm stuck. I can't think about anything else. I can only think about the tragedy. I can't function." I once wrote this up. I wish I had time to write for the Bina magazine. They should really reprint it. It was a Sukkos edition, and they called it Pockets. I wrote in parentheses, my father Zitzel knew the fine art of validating before it was in vogue. He said, "Mein Kind, it's taka, a terrible, terrible tragedy." Silence. But a Yid has to have pockets in their heart. Take the tzara, take the pain, put it in a pocket, and then switch to the other pocket. Go out, pick the flowers that you love, take the kinderlach to the pool. The way we are wired as Jews, we have the capacity to put things in a pocket, the pain is always there, and say, but now I'm in this moment, and I'm going to immerse the totality of my being in this moment. I wish I had a board. See if you could picture this. There's a pasuk in Tehillim that says that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim ba kosh shahot, in fair weather, from the word kashel, right? It's Chag Aviv, festival of the spring. That's the pshat. But if you look at the word bakoshahot, you have to picture it. Beis, chaf, okay? Vav, shin, resh, tuf. Bakoshahot. The Medrash says you could re-vowel it like this. The first two letters, beis, chaf, bechi, crying, and the last five letters, v'shirot, with crying and song. In other words, the word bakoshahot can be re-voweled, split into two, and then it reads bechi, tears, crying, v'shirot. We came out of Mitzrayim, and we said shira, we said the first of 10 prophetic songs. But wait a minute, 4/5 of Am Yisrael, Jews who didn't want to leave Egypt, died in the plague of darkness? They didn't want to be redeemed? So there had to be a nation full of orphans, widows, right, widowers. And that's why we, after eating the matzah and eating the maror, why do we have to do the korech? I remember one year I had such cramps I had to go into my girlhood bedroom by my parents and do my Lamaze breathing, right? After all the maror, all the matzah. And then korech. So you know what the Sfas Emes Tzatzal says? We have to, with our sensual taste buds, experience that the tears, the bitterness, the maror, the exile, and the matzah, the symbol of our redemption, are two sides of one coin. How are our personal trials redemptive? How is it in its essence good? That we don't know. We have to subordinate our intellect. My father Zitzel told me that there were chassidim that they could be by the gates of the gas chambers, la'aleinu. And one was, if you said to them, "Was machste, how are you?" You know what they would answer? "Es is good. Und es wird sein besser." The moment is intrinsic. It's good and it shall be better. Meaning their emunah was so tenacious that they didn't have to understand it. We can't understand it. It is intrinsically good. We are not being played with. We are loved and cherished. And the Gemara says that when we are in pain, the Shekhinah says, "Kalani yadi, kalani roshi, my head hurts, my arm hurts." Meaning when we are in pain, there's a reciprocal flow. I have to tell you that I teach a lot about the mazalot, the astrological signs of each month, the nature of the month. You get a little bit on the phone, right? It's very fascinating. What is the message to us? We're about to usher in a new month, the month of Kabbalah Satorah, Sivan, right? You know what the mazal of Sivan is, anyone? Twins. Nisan, our Exodus, the mazal was a sheep, a ewe, E-W-E, a young sheep. We followed Hashem like a flock follows a shepherd. The flock, the sheep doesn't argue with the shepherd. The sheep just follow the shepherd together. And it is, and David HaMelech says that. I said it in the car today. I was catching up on Tehillim of the week. In Tehillim 73, you know what David HaMelech says? Va'ani kim'at natayu raglai, my feet almost went off the right track when I see the good suffering and the evil prospering. ISIS, Iraq, Iran taunting the democratic world. My feet almost went off the right track when I see the good suffer and the evil prosper, the ancient question. And he discusses it, and then he says, Va'ani ba'ar, bays I enrage. It gives birth to the English word bor, B-O-O-R. I am ignorant. I am senseless. Behemot hayiti imach. I'm like a mute, dumb animal. Lead me, Hashem. Or, I once read an article, seems like a different life, that my parents, Zichronam Levracha, used to get the New York Times delivered through their door every day. That's how I grew up. And I read an article about a Brazilian Gentile that was tortured in some Brazilian prison. And he said, after he was freed, what kept him going was the Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 23. David HaMelech begins to, I guess when I was named Tehillah, I was pleasantly doomed to love Sefer Tehillim. I didn't know one other Tehillah growing up. We had the joy of eating by my very special cousin, Reb Avi and Chavi, and Chaya Hoberman is my first cousin, and every time she said Tehillah to her youngest daughter, I jumped. But I didn't know one other Tehillah. So David HaMelech begins Sefer Tehillim by saying, Ashrei Ha'ish. He doesn't say Jew. He released such a force that right, Psalm 23 became universally known. So the sign of Nisan is a sheep, and the sign of Iyar is an ox. An ox has more intellect than a sheep, Yada Shol Konehu, and the ox works individually. We came out of Mitzrayim together, but we embark on the Sfira process, preparing ourselves each day to receive the Torah. I can't prepare for you and you can't prepare for me. What is the mazal of Sivan that we're ushering in on Shabbos? Twins. Human twins. For many reasons. It describes the link between the oral and written Torah. But you know why else? What the other connotation is? In Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, which expresses our love for Hashem and Hashem's love for us, he calls us Yonati, many terms of love. My dove, Yonati, Tamati, my perfect one, or Ta'omati, my twin. You know that it has been proven when we came to Far Rockaway, our landlady had twin sons. They were young businessmen. They were in two different cities. And one got a sudden attack and was sick, and the other one in a different city felt it at that moment. The mazal to'omim is to tell us that once we accept the Torah, when we are in pain, Hashem is in pain. Imo anochi b'tzara, I'm with you in your pain. B'chol tzarotam lo tzar. So he's not playing with us. And so we develop, through Torah, we develop pockets in our heart. We're not allowed to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av, except that which pertains to the destruction. You know why? In very majestic letters above our Aron Kodesh, in Yeshiva, we have the Pasuk from Tehillim 19. Pikudei Hashem Yesharim Misamchei Lev. The intrinsic nature of Torah is that it heightens your joy level. It gladdens the heart. Sefer Tehillim is full of tumultuous emotions. David HaMelech feels pain. Two sons rebel against him in his lifetime. The greatest Talmidei Chachamim, who he learned Torah with, violate him in the end and rebel against him. The Philistines want to kill him. He has internal enemies, external enemies. And he describes a lot of emotions. We are allowed to feel. We're allowed to feel all kinds of emotions. But if we keep on learning Torah, and I experience this and I'm so grateful, and it enables us to put the angst, the pain, the trial, the tribulation in the pocket and say, now I'm going to enjoy succulently the chesed, the nachas, the beauty of Hashem's world. But it's a daily battle to figure out how we could grow in Torah and how we can deepen our tefillah and our connection. I'm going to continue a little bit in the Shabbos shir, and I have some very amazing, I probably should have brought it tonight too, I forgot, show and tell, different things from the life of my parents, Chutam Yagen Aleinu. My mother, Alah Shalom, I was only privileged to have her for 28 years. My mother was diagnosed at 42 and left us at 47. So I got in 28 years what people don't get in more than one lifetime. But I saw how she dealt with that trauma of the cancer. My father's Zitzel was barely 65, 66. They were like bright meteors that touched the generation, flashed through the sky, and then they were gone. But I was born on top of a mountain in the sense that I saw that they trusted Hashem. They allowed themselves to feel. They were very normal, very human, whatever they needed to feel. But they didn't feel like they were played with. They kept on learning Torah. They were able to be in the moment and enjoy what there was and block out. They showed me that you can have pockets and put the angst in a pocket. It's a choice. Are we going to think about it 24/7, that which we lack, or that which is fearful or painful, or are we going to say, I'm feeling it. Nothing's too difficult for Hashem to reverse. And say, but now I'm in this moment. I will enjoy the sunshine. I will enjoy the friendship. I'm going to nurture the relationships. I see a room full of sparkling women. I have great confidence in the fact that as Hashem gets ready to give us the Torah in the year Tavshin Ayin Tes, it occurred to me a few years ago, we're not commemorating something that happened, obviously. We're coming towards Hashem giving us the Torah again. So he's looking at our strata of the population again in the year Tavshin Ayin Tes. Are we proud to be Jewish women and the future of Am Yisrael depends upon us? Or are we just cruising along? Women and girls that learn Torah have to feel their uniqueness. That really the future of our families and Am Yisrael is dependent upon, are we going to continue to grow deeply and feel how privileged we are to be navigators of our ships? Or are we just going to be lackadaisical? I'm not worried about this magnificent community. Hashem should give every woman lighthearted nachas and health, and everything that's lacking, Hashem should supplant. And we should meet the descendant of Ruth, right? Mashiach ben David ben Hera b'yameinu. Amen.
Amen. Simpson, thank you. I think that if it was just that you were coming in for this evening, it would be Dayenu.
But drop in the bucket.
We're very grateful that you're not on your way for a while. On the seats when you came in, there are brochures that list the almost 24 opportunities over the course of the next few days.